Nation, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, we thought, hey, what's the catch, baby?
I said, bring me the head of Ryan Reynolds.
He did. True story. But after talking to him, hey, it all made sense. There isn't one. Not with Mint Mobile's secret sauce. And Brent, do you want to know what the secret sauce is?
I sure want to know. I do.
They sell wireless service online.
That's it?
They don't have retail stores or salespeople. They instead deliver premium phone plans directly to you.
And this worked great for me because we were moving to a new area and they're like, hey, do you want to try this out? And you can use your own phone, and it works better than what I had. And that's amazing. I don't want to say the company I was using. I don't want to tee it up like that. But I'm just going to tell you, it's been really, really, really good. And Mint Mobile here to rescue from your premium wireless. And it, like you said, it starts at $15 a month. They all come, all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and that's delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And I know if I like anything in this world, it's large. So use your phone, your own phone, that is, with any Mint Mobile plan, and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts and all your pics that you scream at people when they start flipping through them. And you say, oh, don't give me my phone back. And then you can ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month.
Nice. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 redos a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile.com/HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mad Blurry Hysteria. Got us the boys here with you.
Well, before, I'm a man. Thank you very much. That's how I identify as a man.
No. then act like one, damn it, Brent.
Where are you going? The men's room.
We got Brent. How's it going, man?
It's going, man. I'm living in the wishy-washiness that you gave up on Chicago, where it is 80 degrees one day and then snowing and then 45 and rainy and then 72. And then raining and 40 and my sinuses, if that affects you, it's amazing every evening as I'm just, you know.
Dude, it's whatever. The worst.
How does it work?
It's like magnets. We haven't figured it out yet.
Haven't figured it out. Man, we're working on it, though. We also have Chris. What's going on?
What's up? What up?
Those broadcast recording classes are really paying off there, Chris.
Killing it. I'm telling you, I can help you with your podcast. It's been pretty good. You know, the weather here has been kind of interesting because, like Brent is saying, it's you wake up in the morning and it's like, you know, freezing cold. And then by the time it's the afternoon, you're sweating your ass off, dying. And then by nighttime, it's raining again and freezing and your head is killing you. So best time of the year.
Of course, I'm fat, though, so sweating my ass off might be 52. You never know.
Oh, dude. No, same. Are you kidding me? Bro. Yeah, no, that's oh, my God. It's so ridiculous. And then also this week, I've had kind of random. So, all right. So this tells you just how much I pay attention to the world around me generally. So I'm home all day. And, you know, and then that's even before COVID. I've worked from home since like 2 years ago. So sitting at home, and I got a call from my apartment complex saying, hey, between 2 and 3 o'clock, do you ever hear some popping noises and then feel a shake?
What? That's a very distinct.
Well, yeah. And so I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think of myself like, well, yeah, I guess I have felt the shake every day around 2 to 3. I just always assumed it was like, I don't know, the house settling or whatever.
schedule.
Shut up, you guys.
That's just
shut
the walls.
And then today I'm sitting here getting ready, you know, you guys getting ready to do this, reading up on the articles and stuff I'm going to talk about. And the entire apartment, we hear a bang and then the entire apartment shakes.
Is it like you on a boiler or something?
Fairly certain there's like a natural gas leak or something going on and we're going to die. So
they light it every day as to flush it out.
I legitimately don't understand. And it actually reminds me of like a really early, like one of the first things I did with Astonishing Legends was the episode on the Mary Celeste, which is this boat
that
like transporting alcohol and the same thing. They were reporting like they'd hear noises from below deck and then the boat would shake. And they didn't know what it was, and it was ethanol. So either someone in my apartment complex is like making meth currently, just making it badly though. There's like a gas leak or something.
As opposed to the high quality meth you get in other areas.
Well, I mean, I think hydrogen is the gas that gets them.
Do 15, go stir the bathtub.
You know, I don't know. We're making Walmart bathroom meth. Anyways, that's been my week.
Wow.
To be continued, because I want to find out what this is when they actually figure it out.
Bro, I guarantee my apartment complex is not going to tell me shit. They're going to be like, what do you mean? We didn't call you about that. Like, nothing wrong here. I don't know
what you're talking about, sir.
Wow. Way to gaslight. Maybe it's literal gas and you are being literally gaslighted.
I'm being gaslit in three different directions.
They're trying to gas you out of there, but they've overestimated the toxins you've put in your body for years, and so you're just used to that kind of shit, and your body's just taking in the gas.
Dude, they're just overestimating, like, I swear to God, I can't even describe it, really. If I'm focused on, like, doing something, you can legitimately, like, stab me, and I may not notice. Like,
you're one of those people that's really watching bad TV, you talk to, and you never answer, and you just don't hear them.
Oh, 100%. I'm 100% that person.
Don't go in there. Don't go in there. Look behind you.
Sorry, I'm focused.
So what kind of news stuff we got going on these days? Brent, what are you bringing?
Well, mine is very timely for my show. This actually kind of just happened by accident years ago. I think it was episode 52. We did one on the Summerton Man. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Summerton Man. I actually took from our episode the intro. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Name unknown. Cause of death unknown. Occupation unknown. Possessions. A scrap of paper with two words in Persian torn from a rare first edition book. Welcome to the world's most perplexing cold case. It was this dude that they found dead in Australia, in Adelaide. And he's never been identified, and they did an autopsy, and his spleen was like three times the normal size. The liver was distended. Lots of stuff, issues that pointed to him probably being poisoned. And he had eaten within like 3-4 hours before that. A lot of the story comes down to they felt he was a spy, possibly. The tags and everything were removed from his clothing, and they never figured out who he was. And so he has been buried there in Australia, and he has just a stone that says, "Here lies the unknown man who was found at Somerton Beach, 1st of December, 1948. Fast forward to now, it's still a popular case that they've never been able to solve. So this comes from ABC, Australian Broadcast Corporation. The remains of him are being exhumed by police in hope that DNA samples can solve the case. That's kind of exciting because you don't see that often in a case that's this old. And they're a little bit worried because
he was embalmed, and they don't exactly know what shape he's going to be in, and embalming kind of kills any DNA that could be there. But they hope to get enough and put it with records and kind of tie, you know, who he was, and maybe figure out, you know, a name or a family or actually identify him. And it's kind of crazy because is everything from a Cold War spy, jilted lover, who, what happened? And there were people that were definitely, they thought, knew, especially the woman, and it went to her grave. She never told them who he was. And it's kind of a fun little, I guess, as far as fun can be for a dead body. And yeah, and he had the two words on the piece of paper in his pocket was Tom and Shud. It was from a book of poetry, The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. And Tam and Shud means it is finished.
So actually, it's funny. This episode is full of Astonishing Legends references from when I was on the ARC there doing like really hard research with them all the time. That was one of the other early episodes we did. And actually, we found and we worked with a guy named Derek Abbott, who's mm-hmm. a professor who's really interested in the Tam and Shud case, the Somerton Maugham case. So we actually researched copies of the Rubaiyat and found a copy that matched.
The one tore out, right? Pictures of it actually.
Yeah, it's a relatively rare copy. And mm-hmm. actually I have, as some of my like memorabilia from like doing podcast stuff, I have pieces of the Tam and Shud in little vials that I was testing with solvents because different bleeding stuff happened on them and everything. But what was really cool, or another kind of crazy thing, is a couple of months ago. So the son of the woman you're talking about, mm-hmm. Her son was linked by DNA to the Somerton Man, I believe, if memory serves me correctly. And actually, on DNA tests, you can now get told your DNA links you to the Somerton Man.
Oh, really?
Well, so a couple of months ago, someone from like North Carolina or something reached out to me on Facebook and said, "Hey, it turns out from my DNA that I'm like a descendant of the Somerton Man, maybe. And we'd want to reach out to people or whatever." And so we like forwarded her along to folks, and it's just like a crazy dude. The world is nuts.
That's kind of crazy. Getting a podcast that
people.
They have that, but they're still going to exhume them now because this is from when did this come out? 1 second here. This was released 4 days ago. And the woman they were talking to, I don't know if maybe this is someone you had talked to in the article, Dr. Wilson Wilde.
I didn't talk to that guy.
It's actually a female.
Sorry, that lady.
Lindsay Wilson Wilde.
Employee's name.
She's a forensic scientist, director, Dr. Lindsay Wilson Wilde. And she says that, "Hola, David, me amo Brent."
"Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David."
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. A lot of dogs have the same issues you do, David. That's interesting.
They do. I feel bad for them.
After doing tons of research, she feels there's only one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food.
So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes.
That is right, and I've been feeding it to our dogs for months now. It's actually something we use. They love it. They took to it immediately. They get everything they need from it. And David, we sent some to you. You said it tastes pretty good too, didn't you?
Oh, it's a great complete.
Do not eat it. That's not what we're saying. No, but it has been great for our dogs. And they are just getting everything they need because we are feeding them the best stuff. David, tell them how they can get this.
Go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all of these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
It's going to be extremely challenging in a technical sense. The remains have been buried for over 70 years. In addition, the body was embalmed, which adds further complication. That's what I said. But yeah, interesting case, and one that has caught a lot of people's. It was interesting that we did it, and people really liked it, and I think they liked the case itself, you know, and just how who done it. Was he a spy? Mystery. What he was? Good mysteries, you know, great for everyone, and maybe they'll be able to finally put this one to rest. So, and if you go, we'll have a link in the when you listen. They actually have a picture. They did art of exactly what he looked like alive, so you can see exactly what he. Because they have pictures, and they even have a death mask of him. But they, you know, did up art to show what he looked like if he wasn't laying there dead. So, yeah.
Chris, where did you find out, or do you know where the copy of that Rubaiyat came from? Like, was it in Australia, or was it in the Middle East?
No, so it's a it was an English copy. I think what we had, if memory serves, it was a copy that was available in like London. It was available in Adelaide or Sydney, and I think it was also available like in New York.
I haven't listened to the episode in a long time, but if I remember right, everything he had on him was English, wasn't it? But they couldn't prove it because they removed all the tags.
Basically, So everything fit to him being English, or, you know, I mean, Australian and English at the time was like pretty close.
This book they had found, I think, was from sold in England or something like that. It's been literally 5 years.
But yeah, the thing that ultimately like made the difference in the book. There's on the book pages, the lettering tends to be the same between pages, but then this copy, there's like not really calligraphy, but sort of like a back binding image or an image on the book itself. So there's like, you have the typeset where you have the type of the book itself, right? So the words, then you have kind of like, it's like a bluish green, background, and then behind that background there's a like kind of a scene of like, you know, mosques and other sort of buildings from, you know, like Iranian architecture. And so it's like a, it's sort of an interesting one. So it's like those, all of those things have to come together to fit the copy that he had specifically. Well, and
the fact that they had the copy was crazy because it was like in the back of a car. Like someone had thrown it and the car was sitting and they found it.
Yeah, it was in the wife's, it was, or not the wife, the woman. It was in the lady's, the woman's car
that, yeah, like that had just the copy sitting there. In there, and they found it later. Like, it was just this weird case of coincidences that happened. So,
yeah, I feel like when it happened, I think I ended up with like a pet theory that it was, he died of natural causes. He basically like choked to death. On the beach. So he just died from natural causes. That was what my thought was on it, but I can't remember the exact details. But it'll be really interesting to see what they find.
Damn my love of chicken bones.
Yeah, like, oh no, it was like a heart, he had like a heart problem or something, or like maybe because the liver was big. I don't remember exactly what the hell it was, but yeah, it's a fascinating case. Definitely well worth listening to.
It'll be interesting,
as much content on it as you can.
Yeah, it's it'll so be interesting to see what comes of this.
Yeah.
Nice. I got a short one. It's relatively short.
This one, when you sent the link, this one was, I remember this from being a kid and going there.
Oh, yeah. And I was just there a couple of years ago. I walked up to the top of Monk's Mound at Cahokia, and there's an article that came out on Science Alert that says the mystery deepens over why the lost city of Cahokia was abandoned. Lost city, I think, is a little bit of a misnomer because we've already
lost city
we've always Cahokia. Known it was there. But it's if you're not familiar with Cahokia, it's down near St. Louis. It's just east of St. Louis. In fact, it's in East St. Louis, which is in Illinois.
Yeah. Which East St. Louis is the scary St. Louis, if you can even believe that too.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's up there for like what, murders in America or something?
Yeah.
Like
it's, crime. Yeah.
It's pretty something. But Cahokia is a, I don't know if it's UNESCO or not. Surely it's gotta be, right? It's a heritage site, I think, but mm-hmm. Cahokia was the center for a Native American civilization back in the 13th, 14th century, and it was huge. Like it was one of the biggest cities on Earth mm-hmm. at the time. They had about 15,000 people or so, which, you know, isn't a lot, but at the time it was a lot. And they can't figure out why the civilization collapsed or was abandoned. But it seems like Cahokia was just completely abandoned over, you know, a short period of time. They have these giant mounds there that they're not sure, you know, exactly what purpose they served. But it was a whole city complex in this area. And the mystery of it is what happened to these people. And there's been so many theories and stuff as to what could have done it, you know, if it was warfare, if it was what they call ecocide, mm-hmm. where they just, you know, basically farmed the land and knocked down all the trees.
That's the one that I think when we were kids, they're like, they just deforested and killed the environment. And now I think they poo-pooed on that and decided that wasn't it.
That's a thing. Like they've thought about this and thought about this and they're continuing to excavate it, you know, and it's slow going because it's archaeology and nobody wants
right. That. Yeah.
but the latest news from it is it's a little bit of news. It's not anything too earth shattering, but they have found that apparently one of the theories was that it flooded really badly and dispersed the people everywhere, you know, or killed it or whatever. But the flooding theory has kind of been debunked because they've dug through stuff. They haven't found sediment that you would find if the water systems around there had flooded and deposited the silt and the sediments. And so by analyzing the layers that they're digging through, they have come to the conclusion that they don't think it was flooding that had an effect on Cahokia and the people's disappearance. So it's not really like a huge.
We don't know shit.
Well, it's getting. But it's marking that off the board,
right? You know? Yeah. Well, that's
which it, helps.
Illinois is interesting. You know, there's Cahokia Mounds and then there's Dixon Mounds, and Dixon Mounds was another settlement.
It's a great place to eat.
Dixon got in a lot of trouble years ago, and we went there too. They had unearthed the graves, and they had a walkway, and you walked over them. You're inside, and they just had the native people's bones on display. And the native people, we went there for school as children, and the native people fought, and they got to finally cover those, and for good reason. Jesus, you know.
Sure.
So yeah,
where was that at? Where's Dixon Mound?
Dixon is north central Illinois, if I remember right. Let me look.
Well, I mean, did you guys follow it all? I know I'm like the only person in the entire world that gives a shit about UFOs. did you guys follow the there's a big like a UFO kind of like, you know, all the big UFO personalities all got into a big daisy chain and just started like, you know, jerking each other off this last week in a thing called the Big Phone Home. Did you guys see that?
No.
So it was
I don't generally go for, you know, watching people jerk each other off.
I understand. It's fine. We all have our thing. So it was like initially meant to be this, like, I thought it was supposed to be a thing where like they were all trying to call. The whole reason it was called the Big Phone Home was like, everyone was going to together call their senators or their government people.
Release the news.
But then they did it on a Saturday.
No one's going to like, be there.
Which is like notoriously the busiest time for government offices.
I am a volunteer and I can't answer all these calls.
It's a bunch of alien fucking people calling us. God damn it. Yeah. What did Tucker Carlson do now? And so... but it just turned into like a bunch of like, you know, UFO people being like, you know, look at how interesting I am. And like on the poster for it, like some of the people that are the most famous in UFO world for basically like robbing the graves of indigenous people and then showing them on YouTube and being like, was this an alien? And it's like, dude, right. That guy's wearing a Nike sweatshirt. Like, did you just rob another grave? Like, what's this wrong with you?
Elongated skull that I found underneath a headstone.
Yeah. weirdly enough, we found this skull at an indigenous burial ground, but we think this one might be alien because it looks a little bit weird. It's like, okay, well, that's just, you're just an idiot. So, but yeah, well, so that's hey, not, man, it's man, not man, even now. Something that, it's not, not even something just that's done.
An idiot.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, you're a ghoul. There's nothing like the literal definition of a ghoul. There's so it's not even like this stuff is like, I mean, I'm assuming that Dick's Mound thing, the decision to open the graves was probably a long time ago.
It was. But, and it's been closed for, I mean, years now. Real quick to get to what you had asked, David, it is smack dab between Springfield and Peoria. So north central Illinois, but more towards the central part and kind of on the left coast side of the state, but close to center. So, yeah.
Moline wise.
Yeah. Like, but, you know, closer down, you know, where it's next to Havana, if you know where Havana is.
I swear to God, you get two people from Illinois together, they won't shut up about geography.
Well, if this
Jesus
was
Jesus Christ,
if this was Kentucky, he'd be telling us all the stories of mounds and people.
Now, y'all want to know about mounds in Kentucky? Yeah. Well, sit right
back. Ding. Back in the day, we didn't call them mounds; we called them big old reverse holes.
Reverse called hole. Them negative holes. Shoot. Well,
oh my goodness.
Anyway, so yeah, cross one thing off the board. I don't even think flooding was very high on the theory list, you know, but cross it off. And that's, you know, something like that is important to finding the actual explanation. So we always need to find what it's not, you know, along the way.
That's true. So. That's an important, you know, check off what it isn't and you're left with what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All the 15 other things that it could be.
So, yeah.
Anyways, that's what I got. Chris, what you got for us?
So my story this week is one that's going to hit us all close to home. Joe Biden is coming for our meats.
If you watch Fox News, that's the sound they wanted you to make until they had to retract that. But yeah.
So this one, I actually think this one is interesting because it shows the way that disinformation spreads in the ecosystem of news that we all kind of live in.
See, what we need is more examples of that.
So, well, the thing is that usually the examples are things that are like not as insane as this, So you have places like the AP or like CNN or MSNBC or whoever acting all high and mighty, like this is ridiculous. And then they're also running stories that are like, will vaccines turn you into a lizard? Sanjay Gupta chimes in next, and it's like,
we talked to Dr. Oz.
Yeah. You can't. So, okay. Here's what happened with this story. So, in 2020 at the University of Michigan Center for Sustainable Systems, a research team did a study that looked at what would occur if humans transition to a more plant-based diet, specifically Americans. Now, it's like a funny culture wars, clickbaity, stupid thing that cow farts lead to climate change. That sounds silly, but it's actually true. You know, and you can make anything sound silly, right? You know, some guy went down to the supermarket last week and used a magic boomstick to shoot dick metal at people's heads. That sounds stupid because it's the way I'm framing a mass shooting. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's not stupid. So,
dicks and mouth metal.
Yeah.
So, calling like saying it's just, you know, oh, it's just cow farts or whatever. It's not. It's methane. Methane is four times more essentially dangerous as a greenhouse gas than CO2 is because it absorbs four times approximately as much infrared radiation.
Also less known, but equally as true, it's 673 times more funny.
It is hilarious, significantly more funny. So the challenge, we're trying to be serious here. So
people are dying. For our meat.
So yeah, the real issue here is like agriculture produces a tremendous amount of methane, and it doesn't have to. There's ways that we can make it so that agriculture or animal husbandry, I guess I should say, or just kind of ranching or whatever, doesn't produce as much methane, right? As much carbon dioxide, as much greenhouse gases generally. So that's what this team was studying. And so they basically found that if humans limited their beef consumption by 90%, they estimated essentially like how much of an impact that would have on the environment. A reporter, and I use that term loosely, for the Daily Mail, then made
came out
an
with the article Beefed One.
Okay. She wrote an article that was titled How Biden's Climate Plan Could Limit You to Eat Just One Burger a Month.
But that's not even part of the plan. That was just a fact.
Yeah.
It just says how it could limit you to eat just one burger a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was the full headline, too. That wasn't the full headline. It was how Biden's climate plan could limit you to eat just one burger a month, cost $3,500 a year per person in taxes, force you to spend $55,000 on an electric car, and crush American jobs. It's a hell of a headline.
I believe in you. And again, I don't know why, but I do.
In the article, all she says is basically like, these are the things that people studying sustainability are thinking about. These are some of the places Biden's team is looking at the research work. So this could happen. Not that it's going to, but it could happen. Then that story was picked up by Gateway Pundit, which is a conservative website. It then gets picked up by Fox and Friends, and then it gets picked up by the later evening news anchors on Fox News. From Fox News, then it gets spread by Republican senators, congresspeople, other media personalities, whatever. And now your grandma believes it. And it's the same. It's actually the same way that UFO stories transport through from bullshit websites or like unscrupulous journalists or whatever through these other places that kind of launder the story. They launder the source of the story and kind of bury where it came from until finally it ends up in a quote unquote legitimate news place. So it's literally the same thing. And this happens all the time with news. It happens. It used to happen with InfoWars all the time before kind of InfoWars was like taken as, you know, obviously these are crazy people, but like InfoWars used to end up on Fox News all the time, like every day almost for a time period there. Because again, of this kind of laundering of information that happens. So it's a pretty fascinating story, I think. And again, it's so stupid. Like, Joe Biden is not going to limit you to eat only one hamburger. How would that ever possibly happen?
Yeah, yeah. How do they get that done, and how do they force people to buy electric cars? Like,
yeah.
Just think about it for a half of a second, and it's
insane.
Apart.
It's insane, right? But again, this is a more insane example of it. But it's not like, again, it's the same thing that's happening to UFO news. It's the same thing that happens to conspiracy news. You know, Jade Helm is another great example of this, where something insane came out of like the fever, you know, the fever media. And then it got to regular news until finally real people were thinking, oh my God, this Jade Helm thing, it must be serious because real reporters are reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not real reporters. It's real reporters. It's opinion columnists basically opining on bullshit from bullshit reporters.
Yeah. And mischaracterizing so that it makes them more sensational.
Exactly. Like we could write a similar article that's like, you know,
challenge accepted.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Really though, right? Like you could write any kind of crazy article you want and just say could. And it's the same trick that they used here.
Well, so some of the fucking shows that I got to watch for the show I do start a lot of conversations with, could it be?
Could it, could it be? There's a guy, you know, remember at AlienCon when that guy was there, the guy whose only job on Ancient Aliens is to go, could it be true?
Yeah.
I cannot believe they were selling that guy's headshots for like $50.
Come and meet the guy who talks and does the voiceover.
I mean, speaking of AlienCon, remember that guy that interrupted our panel to do the anti-gravity?
The poor bastards at Alien Theorists Theorizing are trying to have a fun little panel, right. And this guy's like, can I come up and join you? No, you dick shit, get out of here. He
walks in the room and starts like talking, and we're like,
what? You got to understand.
That guy
the thing you're missing
is...
out on, he had a lab coat on.
He had a lab coat on.
That guy is so... That guy is so popular on UFO Twitter, it drives me fucking crazy.
Oh, jeez. But, like, here's the, like, going back to the guy that's like, could it be? Like, it's fun to do that and speculate and talk about it if you're responsible with that.
Because then you got the people, could it be Hitler was a good guy? Yeah, let's fly some flags and
because
do some shit.
They hear could it be, and they're like, yes. That is a yes or no thing. It is not a theory or something to postulate on. It is you're telling me what I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had it's a really common, again, like a really common kind of fallacy, you know, and a really not even really a fallacy. It's like it's a what do they call them? It's like a It's like a mental error. It's a thinking error. You know, mm-hmm.
Bias, right?
But fallacy is different though. It's like, I guess it is kind of a fallacy or a bias, but it's like, it thinks it means something specific in the world of like treatment for like anxiety or whatever, thinking error, I think is what it's called. So like, if you're prone to like anxiety, there's like a list of like 14 mental errors or thinking errors you tend to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so one of them is like, for example, trying to like tell the future, right? So you think two things happen to you, therefore this other thing will definitely happen. But there's no causal relation there. There's no reason to think that's actually the case, right? Or mind reading. So you think you say something to other people and then you assume that you know how they're going to react and they took what you said badly, right? It's those kinds of like mental kind of thinking errors that happen here a lot where it's, you know, you hear someone say something or you read a piece of information and then you just kind of assume because it feels right that this is the way it must be, mm-hmm. but it doesn't fit. That's not the way it works.
Well, it's also, you want to believe a certain party or person or you want to believe the people on the TV. It's a hell of a drug. I read it somewhere, so it has to be true. And we all know that's not true, but people fall into that. And I think older people a lot of times too, because you used to be able to go to the news and you got the news.
Yeah.
And that has gone by the wayside and people still hold on to that or just believe wholeheartedly for one reason or another.
It's also hard to accept something that goes against all your notions and everything you've been taught and believe yourself.
Well, if you think Biden's evil, you're going to be more apt to believe that when you hear it from the news. And if you think that Trump was evil, you're more apt to believe the things you hear from the other side of the news. It's just part of the human condition. But the best thing is, and the thing that I hate, is you can go and you can look at, if you don't want to believe a site like what's the one that facts check stuff?
Snopes.
It Snopes is like Wikipedia. Don't take their word for it. Guess what I use? I use the links that they share, and I go and I try to vet those links and see where those come from. And 9 times out of 10, it's coming from a horribly dry academic paper or somewhere, you know, that only Chris will really understand, because that's where the truth actually comes from usually. And then it gets twisted in one way or another. We suck. And you know, our end is coming as a species is what I'm getting at.
I don't know if you guys have had this happen to you. I feel like this has happened to us a lot recently, again, just because, you know, Maria is smart enough to stay out of it, but I, you know, every day wake up and decide to choose chaos and engage with UFO believers on Twitter. But there's, you know, there, like, just like what you're saying, Brent, where you don't trust Rachel Maddow. So even if she says something that's true, the sky is blue, mm-hmm. you disagree with it or you knee jerk distrust that information.
Chris is saying the proverbial you. That's not me saying that.
No, yeah, it's not you. Sorry, not Brent.
But yes.
Brent fucking hates Rachel Maddow. Don't listen to him. Brent's he's got the shrine over he's shrine. He's got the Green Lantern shrine and he's got an anti-Maddow shrine. Don't listen to him. We've had it where like we'll say things like, you know, oh, I don't know. I don't know if TTSA is really like the best place for Lou Elizondo. I think they're kind of taking advantage of him. And we're the fucking devil. And then
you son of a bitch.
And then Lou Elizondo quits TTSA and people are like, well, it wasn't really the best place for him. I think they might have been taking advantage of him. And you're just sitting there like, I said that. What's happening?
The problem was you said it.
Exactly. Dude, it's crazy. So yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I don't know. There has to be some. I feel like we should. Sometimes I feel like I should do like what Rainn Wilson did, where he's got like a fake.
Character.
You know, a character, a paranormal character,
Terry Carnation or whatever.
That honestly might be the most effective way to like spread good information
for
to
those of you that are listening. Believers. For those of you listening that don't really know Chris, I'm going to sum him up really quickly. This is just an analogy of how he is in the UFO world. Let's pretend that you hate sushi. So then every day you wake up and all you do is eat sushi and then you complain about it.
No, that's not true at all. What are you, my wife? That's not true at all. A better example is you love Italian food. You love good Italian food, but you decide to go to Pizza Hut and tell people there's better Italian food out there.
No one out pizzas the Hut.
No one out pizzas the fucking Hut, dude.
No one.
bro,
because at some point in the past, we got Land Before Time little rubber thing.
Yeah.
From Book It. And now, like, we can't be bothered to not trust Pizza Hut.
That and the, wasn't it them that did the Back to the Future glasses?
Did they? I don't know.
I think
they
so.
They might have. Yeah, you might be right.
Oh, I gotta look this up. Back to the Future. Yeah.
So, Chris, what we're saying is you need to develop a Book It system.
Bros, I'm shooketh right now.
Just do a fuck it with stars. Yay, fuck it. I got 5 stars. I'm treating myself to a pizza. Here we go.
I'm gonna have to start giving out Amazon gift cards for every piece of philosophy people read. To my own book club. Every scientific work you read, I'll give you a pizza.
I think it's important for the listeners to keep something in mind with all this. This goes directly back to this story, Chris. Is if you are being fed things that make you feel threatened or fearful or just scared in general about actions that you're taking, immediately distrust that source.
Yeah, 100%.
Or do the minimum.
The minimum.
Of checking into it.
Yeah, because if someone's trying to... You might not think they're trying to manipulate you, but that's what they're trying to do. And if someone is feeding you this stuff that makes you fearful or threatened, they have an agenda and it's not in your best interest. And so if you want to watch Fox News, I'm not going to tell you not to, but you shouldn't. but I will tell you.
Yeah, like, everything
comes from fear.
They immediately have you at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
It's like if you think like discussing concepts or ideas is like a battlefield, they've already got you sort of, they've already, you know, destroyed the ground you're on, right? They have the high ground because they've already put you at a disadvantage to have you be afraid. So now you're more susceptible to ways of thinking you wouldn't be otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to be careful. Never, ever make decisions based on fear or feeling threatened like that. Look at
fuck that. You live once. Just go willy nilly. Believe everything and trust no one. And go rehydrate some pizza and enjoy the shit out of it.
or just don't ever learn another thing ever again.
True. Yeah.
You know. What's that book, Everything I've Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then the guy's like, I learned not to eat crayons. And it's like, bestseller. Crazy. Anyways, listeners, we love you all. The fact that you're listening to us chatter about this at all means that you're probably not at risk for these sorts of problems.
From either side, because this goes on every side. Extremists 100%. Are bad. Usually, unless like you're into fun, you know, if you're an extreme funnist, I'll listen to you.
Oh God, dude, my story next week, I almost guarantee is going to be about how fucking annoying Michael Shermer has been recently on Twitter. Mm. Like it's true on the believer and skeptical side. Mm-hmm. Everyone is stupid and wrong. Except for me.
Everyone is stupid and wrong. The history of Chris Cogswell. Chapter 1. This sushi tastes like shit.
But I'm going to eat it anyway.
Why do I keep coming to this restaurant?
All right, kids. I think that wraps up Mettler Hysteria for the week. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Later.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everyone.
Meeting adjourned.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.